7.
Feels on the streets this afternoon. So Barack Obama last night said he believes that same-sex couples should be allowed to marry. He added that it's important for him to go ahead and affirm that he thinks same-sex couples should be able to get married. He said in an interview with ABC Networks. And his comments marked the first time a US president had publicly expressed support for gay marriage. His position was hailed by Democrats, by gay rights groups and others as a benchmark for civil rights in the United States of America. It's a major turning point in the history of American civil rights, said New York's Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Others, including Republican activists and conservative Christian leaders, criticised Obama's stance and called it a huge political risk on a divisive issue. Obama, of course, is in re-election year, and his likely opponent is Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney came out and said he supports a marriage in the traditional view. So we don't have to focus on the American upcoming presidential election, because that's not till November. But on this issue, how do you think that would reflect in this society? We have civil partnership, as you know already. So the debate again about gay marriage, we can pick it up. And joining us is Brian Sheehan, who's director of GLEN, that's the Gay and Lesbian Equality Network. Hello, Brian.
Good evening, Scott. How are you?
And David Quinn from the Ione Institute is here. Good evening, David.
Good evening.
Brian, we heard what Obama said, but I mean, he's in the midst of an election year, and it's a political point he's scoring rather than a civil rights issue. Wouldn't that be fair of me to say?
I think yesterday was a really important day for civil rights, actually. I think the tide of history has turned. Obama, the president, understands that and has lent his voice to it. And I think it's an interesting one that such a champion of civil rights as President Obama is, first black president of the U.S., he certainly understands exclusion, the issues faced by people who are excluded for better than any other president, one would imagine, certainly in the United States. And I think his endorsement of his personal view, which he called an evolution, that same-sex marriage is, in effect, the answer for lesbian and gay couples, that equal treatment under the law, was actually a really remarkable moment. I think it's been greeted hugely warmly in the States by very many people, and certainly in Ireland, where I think many lesbian and gay people would certainly have felt cheered and warmed by that today. And I think it's very interesting that your vox pop certainly, actually everyone in your vox pop agreed that lesbian and gay couples should be allowed to marry.
I know, and Brian, and there were a bunch of people we met today, and the responses just fell out in the way they did. Believe me, they weren't sorted or edited to any degree at all. David Quinn, to ask you, I mean, a civil rights issue, why not? Why can't we have gay marriage?
Well, I mean, the first thing I suppose to say is that actually Barack Obama, when he was state senator back in 1996, was at that point in favour of same-sex marriage. Then, at the presidential election back in 2008, he said, no, I don't support same-sex marriage. I think marriage should be between a man and a woman. It's a bit mysterious why his opinion changed. I think we have to say, for political reasons, he was now running for national office, the biggest in the country, as distinct from the state senate. Then, obviously, now he has decided to go back to his 1996 position. Which he said his position has evolved. So it looks like it's been evolving in various directions. Yesterday, I mean.
So, David, you're saying clearly this is a political point, by the way.
Well, I think he believes in same sex marriage. And, I mean, clearly he's not doing this for no reason, okay? He's under, within his own party, there's a lot of support for it. His gay organizations raise huge amounts of money for him. He's been under huge pressure to come out and do this before the presidential election, because otherwise they'd say, you can't wait till after it. You've got to show the sincerity of your support for same sex marriage. But, you know, in respect to vox pops and opinion polls and so on, there was a referendum in Slovenia, but it was actually quite a secular country, a few weeks ago on same-sex marriage. And leading into the referendum day, the pro-same-sex marriage position was 20 points ahead in the polls, and in the end lost by 10 points. There have been 31 statewide referendums in America on this issue, and the pro-traditional marriage argument has won in 31 out of 31, including in liberal states like California. North Carolina, which was a swing state in 2008 and went to Barack Obama, had a referendum on the matter this week. Some polls were showing 52% support for same-sex marriage in North Carolina. In the end, it lost by 61, that is the same-sex marriage position, lost by 61 to 39%. So opinion polls on this matter can be incredibly deceptive. Mm. And when people begin to hear the arguments, they begin to change their mind and think of what happened in a referendum campaign here.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, just
but just in respect of whether it's a civil right, it's not a civil right according to the French Supreme Court, which ruled on this a couple of years ago. It's not a civil right twice, this has been said, by the European Court of Human Rights, which interprets the European Convention on Human Rights. There is, so they've said there is no right to same-sex marriage under the European Convention on Human Rights, and it is not discrimination for a country that assigned the convention not to allow
same-sex marriage. Okay, we hear those points, David. Let me ask you another question. Mm-hmm. So, what is marriage?
Well, you see, this is a very important question, because, you know, we've got to ask ourselves, why does marriage receive special recognition from the state and society at all? I mean, is it simply our way of recognising the importance of sexual relationships? And why does sexual relationships, I mean, people form all kinds of relationships, all kinds of codependent relationships. Why does only one codependent relationship, namely the sexual ones, get approval and recognition?
Because perhaps it's nothing to do with the sexual relationship at all. It's succession rights of the children that issue from the relationship, and that's why we have marriage.
Now we're getting there. Okay, and I suppose this is where, like myself and Brian, are getting to the inevitable part of the argument we always get to, which is this. We all agree that parental stability is extremely important for children. But is there a form of parenting that's particularly important for children that gives added value? That is, to be raised by your own biological mother and father where possible, you know, assuming they love you, okay, and are not bad parents. Is there added value in being raised by your own two loving parents? And if so, shouldn't society encourage this? And the answer of every society in history to this is, of course we need to encourage mothers and fathers to raise their kids together. And that is why marriage became a specially recognised social institution.
Yeah, but David, we're talking now about parenting and same-sex couples, which isn't really what we didn't want to talk about. I wanted to talk about was marriage. So if there was an argument to be made that might be characterised the way I made it, which is succession rights of children that may issue from this relationship between this man and this woman. If there's another marriage from which no children issue from that, so there's no right to that. So if we have a same-sex marriage, for example, from which no children issue because they can't. I mean, why not have gay marriage? Because at the end of the day, the focus is on the children of a marriage.
Well, I don't quite understand your question, because one part of your question seems to be excluding children and looking exclusively at the adults, and the second part of the same question is looking at children and stability for children. So I don't, and so that's why I brought up, obviously, like, because you brought up children, and I'm glad you did. That's why I bring up the importance of having a mother and father, because I mean, as a society, we can't be indifferent as to whether 0% or 100% of kids are raised by the two people to bring the child.
I understand.
While not all married couples have children, every child ever born has a mother and father, even if the father be a sperm donor and the mother an egg donor. And we can't ignore that basic fact.
No, I accept that, but we have increasing numbers of partnerships that are not married that have children.
We do, and that is not necessarily a good thing. Because
I know, but we have the child being brought up by their biological mother and father who did not bother or choose not to have a marriage contract.
And you see, if you actually look again at the sociological evidence, all right, cohabiting parents break up more than twice as often as married parents. So the rise of cohabiting parenthood is actually not a good thing from the point of view of children, if we value stability in the life of children. So actually we need to strengthen the institution of marriage. We need to persuade men and women, if you're going to have kids, get married first for the sake of your kids. And this message has been lost. That it is an increasing concentration on notions of adult freedom, the right of adults to do whatever they like, the right, you know, to form, you know, whatever kind of unions they like, which I don't deny, but what I do say is a particular form of union should be given special recognition, that of a married man and woman, for the sake of children.
Okay, I want to go back to Brian Sheehan. Brian, we have the civil partnerships at the moment. Obama said what he said, but we're talking about potentially developments here in Ireland. Why is the civil partnership not enough, and why do you want to move to a situation where I hereby take you as my lawfully married partner?
I think there's a few things in it, and one of the kind of key bits is what in effect is marriage. It's many things, but in terms of the adults involved, and I'll come to the children in a second, in terms of the adults involved, it's it's a commitment to love and honour and respect each other, and it brings with it a whole lot of rights and a whole lot of responsibilities. And it is the pinnacle way in which the Irish state, and indeed very many other states, acknowledge the formality and commitment that a couple take on towards each other. And I think that's the piece that's really important. So civil partnership brings most of the rights and obligations of marriage for same-sex couples. But it isn't marriage. It's not the same thing. And there is, while there are some gaps in it, the key thing is the constitutional protection and the equality, actually, with which the relationships between adults are
and
created.
Again, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Ryan, I'm watching time. So it's not good enough. Why? What's missing exactly? Can you just put it very precisely to us?
In effect, because lesbian and gay relationships, which are on the same basis for the adults as a heterosexual relationship, are not treated the same.
Right, so it's classified and codified in a different way by being called a civil partnership as opposed to marriage. Is that precisely the position?
Sure. There are some legal differences which are very, very important, but there is no constitutional protection and so on. So in effect, it isn't the same way. We're not treated the same. So in effect, each time that a young lesbian or gay person realizes that actually, while there are protections there from their relationships, they're different and in fact they're not the same, they're not treated equally. I think those are the kinds of messages. It's very interesting that President Obama talked about he evolved in his attitudes. I think Ireland is evolving very rapidly in its attitudes. And I think the second thing he talked about was really interesting because it goes to the children bit. He talked about his daughters. And now his daughters have friends whose parents are lesbian parents and are same-sex parents. Mm. And that young people are growing up where this isn't a big strange thing to them. And they see that the children in those families are being treated.
Why don't we just put that point to David Quinn? David, that point that Brian makes, and just in looking at the American, what Obama said and all the rest, but that a younger generation growing up, it's like somebody is gay, big deal. Who cares?
Well, I mean, I'd say yes to that. I mean, in fact, when homosexuality or homosexual acts, rather, were decriminalised back in the mid-90s, I supported that. And in fact, right at that point, by the way, I supported partnership rights, for example, maintenance rights, property settlement rights, hospital visitation rights. By the way, I support gay adoption under certain circumstances.
Right.
So this isn't just, you know, 0 or 100% in my mind. It's a matter of, finding the appropriate set of rights for given situations. I believe in the principle of equal treatment, which says treat similar situations similarly and different situations differently. And it does come back to the point, there is something unique about marriage, which means it's legitimate to give it unique treatment and unique status. And what's unique about it is only marriage can give a child a married mother and father. Now, in respect of kids raised by, and it's mainly lesbian parents, because there's actually few enough who are raised by by two men. What you got to say to yourself is, two things. Obviously, there are many loving lesbian couples who love their children very much, all right? But I just think that we've got to ask ourselves, is there something of added value about having a father or about having a mother, as the case may be, okay? Or is parenting just completely gender neutral? Does the sex of the parent not matter at all?
It
does seem strange to me that when it comes to things like politics, some people think gender quotas are incredibly important. We must have women in politics. We must have women in boardrooms. Their gender is very important. The gender complementarity is very important. But we're told, incredibly, when it comes to parenting, gender complementarity doesn't matter at all. And I just think that's very odd.
Okay, last word to you, Brian Sheen.
I think that the simple thing is that you can't penalise a child by virtue of the family in which it's born into, and that all families under that context, where there are children, need to have the same protections.
Strive for a mother and father, therefore.
Yeah. Well, you
can't prevent people from having children. I think that nobody's ever said that anyone
can't
should
have
do
kids.
I think what he's saying, Brian, is that there's a biological mother and father for every one of us, because that's the way it works. Anyway, the debate goes on. I've got to leave it. I want to thank you both very much. Thank you, Brian Sheen from Glennon. Thank you very much, David Quinn from the Iona Institute.